I'm John Batsu with my colleague, Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I report to you, Gregory, in a conversation with two young journalists, one in America, born in Tehran, the other in America, because it was not safe for her to remain in Iran, have written a new book about the last 3 years since the rising of the young people following the murder of a young Kurdish woman by the morality police one day because they didn't like the way she had her hair arranged in downtown Tehran. Since then, there have been repeated challenges all over the country to the morality police, to the IRGC, especially to the Basij, and to the Ayatollah, so much so that I'm told by a Gen Z there and Gen Z here, having migrated away from the persecution, that Gen Z dislikes, distrusts, laughs at the Ayatollah and the IRGC. These are the young people up to about age 25, 28 now. And that tells me, and I checked it again and again and again, and this new book talks about how they're heedless and reckless in charging the police in the streets, how they don't fear arrest, how they're extremely careful to be political all the time. Gen Z in Iran, what that means usually, if you're looking at history, is that the bosses, the dictators, the Ayatollah, the president, the Majlis, all of that, they've lost the future. Is that a fair interpretation of what I'm hearing, Gregory?
Yes, it is. And it does, in fact, mirror some of the crisis which occurred in 1978-79 when I was there as advisor to the Shah, who unfortunately was reluctant to, if you like, crack down on the situation at that time because he didn't want to take away the future, if you like, from the young people. But today, the Gen Z and so on and the millennials are at the forefront of the change. And it's true that Ayatollah Khamenei did not grab the opportunity when he had it to put the next generation into key positions of power and to, if you like, modernize and, if you like, change the image of the whole clerical leadership structure to the point now where they've lost that chance entirely. Remember that Ayatollah Khamenei was hoping that his son would succeed him as supreme leader, but his son became so distracted by corruption and cash and so discredited that opportunity was never going to pass through the elders. So the result was that, yes, they've lost that opportunity. However, we're still not seeing the youth in the streets who need to actually gather with the farmers who are also being dismantled into their power and wealth day by day. If they're going to do something, there's no cohesiveness among the opposition or among these brave young people who challenge the IRGC. The Revolutionary Guard, in fact, are getting more and more ruthless simply because they realize that they're in a corner. The same applies in China. The young people starving there have not managed to find cohesion and organization. So in both Iran and the PRC, what we need to see is something galvanize the populations in the street. And the question is, at what point does anger galvanize, or at what point does the hope for the future galvanize people? And that's where we're at in Iran today. Significantly, both the U.S. and Israel did not coordinate their recent attacks on Iran with local movements because they haven't been able to get in and get traction with the young Iranian people of today, and they need to do so. We know that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, in their recent meeting in Washington, talked about Iran, but I don't believe they have a cohesive plan to address the problem because Iran is suffering from all manner of maladies. Their water supply situation is in some respects more critical than the water situation in China. Iran has been drawing from subterranean water supplies for so long now that we're seeing subsidence in many areas because the underground water is being drawn out, and cities and towns are literally subsiding into the gap once filled by the water supply. So things are going to have to happen with the management of rivers, the management of water use in Iran. The clerics clearly are not up to it. They're under pressure. They have no money. So what it seems is that the U.S. and Israel and Saudi Arabia, for that matter, are just waiting for natural causes to galvanize the populations and overthrow the Ayatollahs. Russia, which needs Iran for its access to the Indian Ocean, is not in a position at the moment, financially, to do much about it in a way of helping them. And right now, you've got a lot of water supply coming out of Turkey, for example, down into both Israel and into Iran and so on. They are actually well and truly hoping to replace Iran as the regional Eurasian center of power. But they're also anti-Israel, anti-Western. So the question is, how does the West, right, how does the U.S., for example, deal with Turkey in that regard?
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, also the author of the new book, Noble State. Realpolitik, it's making what appears to be a comeback. Next, Gaza.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,